In this country, the traditional Easter themes of death and rebirth are a backdrop for the struggle over the life and death of Terri Schiavo. This morning, a federal judge in Florida refused the latest plea from her parents to have her feeding tube restored. Commentator Kelly McBride lives in St. Petersburg, Florida. There, the Schiavo case has been a local story for years.
The locker room at the YMCA is a great place to eavesdrop. This week, all anyone's talking about is Terri Schiavo. They use words like minimally conscious and persistent vegetative state. Some of the women work in nursing homes and hospitals. Many have watched a parent, a spouse, or even a child die. I don't know if the women in the locker room agree on whether Terri Schiavo's feeding tube should be reinserted, or whether Congress should butt out, or if marriage is the bond that trumps all other relationships. But they agree that Schiavo's story is really about us, about how we talk about life and death, and all that comes in between. If I'm brain dead, one of the younger stationary bike spinners starts to say, she's not brain dead, she's brain damaged, one of the older water aerobics ladies shoots back. But that's not quite precise enough either. Yes, Terri Schiavo has a damaged brain, but not in the same way my older brother Timmy has a damaged brain. He lives with our parents and has an IQ somewhere around 50 and bags groceries at the Piggly Wiggly. Some days he won't eat unless someone sets out the food for him. Of course, I would never withhold such nourishment. But living with Timmy has forced me to ask what makes life meaningful. Or to reverse the question, at what point does brain damage render a life so meaningless that prolonging it seems inappropriate? Is it when you can't do anything? Is it when you can't have any kind of interaction? This is what happens when people talk about Terri Schiavo. The conversations inevitably spin back to the personal. I think about my brother's life. You might think about your grandfather's death. Earlier this week, during the morning flag ceremony outside my children's Catholic school, I talked to Father Robert Gibbons, our priest. He'd been to the hospital the night before to visit a dying woman. She can't swallow anymore, and her children said she has refused a feeding tube. She's ready to die. But some people in our church question him. Is refusing such medical treatment sinful? Father Gibbons assures me it's not. The Schiavo story is more complex and more nuanced than that. It forces us to ask each other and ourselves many questions. When is death inevitable? What are extraordinary means? If Schiavo were 70 years old or 50, would we be having this conversation? I find hope in these discussions that start with Terri and end with you and me. We may not ever be able to answer the troubling questions about my brother's life or the death of a woman I don't even know. But Terri Schiavo's tragic life is forcing all of us to continue the conversation. We've asked a question we can't turn away from. What does it mean to be alive?
Commentator Kelly McBride heads the Ethics Department at the Poynter Institute for Media Studies.